Wrestling Daft presents The Daft Sheet. Welcome to another installment of The Daft Sheet, the weekly supplement brought to you by the good folk at Wrestling Daft. No, do not adjust your speakers. Chris Jack does not have a nasty cold. I, Stephen Roach, the man with the unpronounceable name, I'm guest editing this week's installment as we thought it was time to mix things up. Well, if Kevin Owens can get traded to SmackDown, surely then we can have a change up in our setup, at least temporarily. With me this week, as always, Lewis McNaughton. Lewis, I hope you're keeping well, pal, and I hope you're well sheltered for the incoming Storm Babbitt. How are you?
I'm not looking forward to that. Only travelling I'll do, to be fair, is to work, but hopefully there's a tree on the road or something that makes me ask, can I come in today, lads? Well, other than that, good. I've had quite a busy week. I'll quickly throw this on to you. It's a quick question. Have you ever gone to an event or turned up to an event with no ticket, just purely under the hope that you got one when you were there?
No, but every time I go out to do stand-up, the bouncer's always asking, ticket please, is it on? I'm one of the acts. And says, you're fucking joking, aren't you?
Well, I went to, I don't know if he's listened to country music at all, but I went to the Luke Combs concert in Glasgow on Monday, was it? And I had no ticket when I was going. And I just went completely by myself. I was like, rogue. I went, I'm just going to go to this. Because it was sold out. I was wanting to go for a while, but it was sold out. So I just went into the box office and went, can I get a ticket? And she went, oh, the last two free ones just went to the lasses in front of you. So I just stood there.
Of course, it's always to the lasses.
Hovered around for like 10 minutes. Hovered around for 10 minutes and then I went, when's the best time for me to come back and see if there is one? And then just before the show started, she went, I'll look one more time. And she went, I've got one ticket here. It's £60 and it's fifth row. I went, I'm in. Jesus. Never slap £60 down a table quicker, but I was just thrown out there just in case she was as fucking daft as me and didn't get in until the last second.
I'm going to show my age here. Who's Luke Combe?
He's a country singer, like one of the big ones from America.
Nice.
I'm surprised he's not done like a national anthem or something at WrestleMania or that, but
It's coming. It'll definitely be coming.
He's a big American country star, yeah. And tremendous night. Got too pissed, but as well as.
Well, you heard it here first. Luke Combe will be doing the national anthem at the next WrestleMania. Watch this space. Now, facing a temporary demotion this week is Chris Jack. Chris, it must feel strange being in the blue corner this evening. How are you?
I'm not too bad at all, Steve. First time, long time. Is that that's what they say, isn't it? You know, when folk come on as a guest, when they've been on the peripheries for a while. But I just thought, this week, why not mix things up a wee bit, see what you guys present or chops are like over the next couple of weeks. But I'm ready and there to go. I've got a lot to get off my chest as a guy once said. But just on your ticket thing there, Lewis. Earlier in the year, I was down in Cork City, down in the south of Ireland, and for the work thing, and I went to this pub just on my own, just like yourself, you know, roaming the streets of a foreign city, not knowing what was on, and it turned out Fern Brady was playing in the upstairs bit of this pub, but it was a sellout, so I just kind of hung about, and they managed to sneak me in at the very back for the place was at capacity. There was no room to move at all in the place, so I was pretty much standing in the fire exit as a fire hazard. But that was probably the last time one of the only times that I've managed to blag a free last minute ticket.
Persistence is key, though, isn't it?
That's it. And also, if there's anybody in Northern Ireland listening that is a fan or that's slightly interested in Mike Skinner and the Streets, I have a spare ticket for that this coming Sunday night. So if you want to be my pal for the Telegraph building on Sunday, I've got a free ticket to see a man in his mid-40s still cut about as if he's in his mid-20s.
That's CM Punk, is it?
I was going to say it's pretty much me. I'm in my mid-30s. I'm still like a fucking teenager.
Yeah, we're all in that stage of arrested development, aren't we? Of course, we're wrestling fans. Of course, we're stunted.
Shows why we're going to so many things by ourselves as well. We're wrestling fans.
Yeah, exactly. I think pretty much every wrestling show I've ever been to is by myself.
I just dragged pals along, I bought two tickets for the WWE live show, and I just said to my pal, I was like, please come. He went, maybe. And then got near the time, maybe a few weeks ago, he was like, nah. And then just the other day, I went, I'll give you it for 25 quid. I paid 75 quid, just give me a wee bit of money and come along. He went, fuck it.
Why not? So,
I dragged my missus to two wrestling shows, and I think it was the most miserable 4 hours of her life, both times I took her.
Come on, eh?
You just need to get her up to speed with the storylines. Tell her she's going to see some oiled up men with great abs. Yep. There you go.
That's the selling point. I tell her, like, you're about to see buff guys half naked.
Yep. So,
what's it to complain about? Anyway. we usually go in with an icebreaker. So I thought, since it's October, things are getting spooky. People are putting up their Halloween decorations, Starbucks are selling their pumpkin spice lattes, and spiders are crawling all up and down every wall and every household up and down the country. So I thought it'd be worth asking, with Halloween on the horizon, what's your favourite scary wrestler?
I would say because my mum painted his face on a bin bag for me to go to a boys' brigade Halloween party when I was about 9 years old. Papa Shango. It was just, you know, at that time, you know, well, I'd have been about, in fact, I was probably more 7 or 8, because that would have been, what, about 92, 93. Just the whole skeleton face mask gimmick, or face paint gimmick, making Ultimate Warrior spew up stuff and just being generally quite creepy to be watching as somebody under 10. Papa Shango, literally and not figuratively, put the willies up me.
Was he 5 minutes late in doing it? Like it was at WrestleMania 8?
probably not, but I just have vivid memories of my mum staying up late on a Tuesday night with a big cardboard box she'd got for the shop across the road, painting all this spooky stuff on it, and then just basically putting me in a bin bag and then putting the box over me with his face painted on it.
And Lewis, what about yourself? Who's your favourite scary wrestler?
I'll go for one. I'll give you two. I'll give you one 16 years ago, and then one from maybe nearer now. But the first ever time I proper shit myself when I was watching wrestling must have been like 2005-2006 SmackDown. The Boogeyman. Anytime he came on the screen, I put the cover, because I must have been here. Here's the weekly reminder the I'm 20 years younger than... I'm joking. About 10 years younger than you. I was about 8, 9 years old or something, and I would just have to cover my eyes every time the Boogeyman came out. It was brutal, honestly. But nowadays, probably my favourite scary wrestler, I get scared every time I watch them in the ring, is probably Nia Jax, just in case. Scared for everyone's health, not so much.
Every time you see her pick up another wrestler, you're going, oh, like, Jesus,
covering your eyes.
What's going to happen here, aye?
But now she's back, I get to shit myself every Monday night on Raw again. She's going to intentionally, she goes out saying she's going to hurt the roster. I think that's just a selling point. So when she actually does, she'd get away with it. I said.
It gets the dirt sheets talking as well, doesn't it? Did you see the clip last week where Raquel Rodriguez's face imprinted on her midriff? Raquel Rodriguez had it up for a powerbomb, so like Nia Jax's, I don't want to say gut sounds awful, but her gut was like right in Raquel Rodriguez's face, and after she slammed her, her makeup was imprinted on her gear, on her belly.
Tremendous.
That's commitment to the bit, isn't it? That's commitment to the bit.
No. Well, my favourite scary, he wasn't a wrestler, but the manager of Kai and Tai, because I have never got that out of my head. That has traumatised me since the age of 10. Like, oh my God, a man actually threatened to chop another man's dick off on live national television. And it's just, you know, the fear of knowing another man wanted to do that to another man.
That must have been anyway. Like 2001 or something, was it 2000 maybe?
No,
like
it was 90.
Before that?
Oh no, it was right at the start of the Attitude Era. It was 98. So I'd have been 9.
I remember that was one of the first one of the first things I'd ever seen, because I used to come in from, this is really like probably doesn't make any sense to why I was watching this after, but I'd always come in from Sunday school when I was maybe like 3 or 4, and I'd watch SmackDown. So I'd just come back from fucking hailing Jesus Christ and that, and then I would watch pretty just after Attitude Era WWE, and I remember the Funaki being on it all the time, and
I would be just a three, four year old
chairs going, indeed.
Oh, that was, those were the days, man. Well,
what a time.
Well, let's get down to business here. We'll start with our front pages, as always. No hanging about here, Lewis. I'm going to come to you first. What's your pitch for a headline this week?
I'm gonna talk about something that's been a long time coming, and everyone's sort of fantasy booking and what everyone wants. Everyone, maybe a loose term, but I think we're finally getting LA Knight's shot at Roman Reigns away. Mm. I don't know if you've seen SmackDown, but
yeah,
it's, I don't know how it's gonna go. Is it gonna be another one of those Sami Zayn in his hometown? You think he's gonna win? He doesn't. Drew McIntyre, he's going to win in the UK. No, he doesn't. It's going to be Cody Rhodes winning at WrestleMania 39. No, he doesn't. Is this just going to be the quarterly installment of Roman Reigns ruining our fucking dreams? Or do you reckon there? I know Cody's pitched in and all this and that, but do you reckon there's any hope that he does anything here? Or
I think no. Because as much as enjoyable LA Knight is, as over as with the crowd and as red hot he is, I don't think he's the guy they want front and centre. I think they appreciate his talents. I think they know they've got a marketable commodity there that the fans really love. But ultimately, no, I don't think in the current climate he's the man they want front and centre. They don't see him as a Roman or a Seth. He's more along the lines of a Drew or a Miz, or a Sheamus. A guy that knows how to warm up a crowd with the mic and knows how to talk well in the press, but ultimately not the guy we want as our number one. It's a shame, because it's great to see this guy that's kind of been a journeyman his whole career, and hit his 40s and probably think, well, that's it, the chance is never coming again. And then all of a sudden he gets the big chance, and he takes full grasp of it, and they're giving him his just rewards for it. But I don't see it happening. I still think long term it's going to be Cody. Chris, what's your opinion on that?
I agree. Cody needs to finish the story. If finishing the story was getting the tag team belts, then story wasn't a very long chapter. Oh, that chapter wasn't very long in the story. So I still think 100% it's going to be Cody that will be the man to dethrone Roman. But that's not to say they can't have some fun with LA Knight. The absolute confidence and bravado that LA Knight showed in the kind of the face off with Roman at the start of SmackDown the other night there. He just looked like a star. He wasn't fazed by it. You sometimes see guys getting put into these face to face promos with Roman, and they stumble and fall over their words, and they maybe don't look as imposing as what Roman does. But for me, LA Knight, he grabbed the bull by the horns. Yep. Having John Cena in his corner, was a big factor in it as well. And I liked that sort of not passing the torch, but the intro that Cena gave him. Cena saying, that, yeah, I'll acknowledge you, Roman, but I'm not here to fight you. But I know someone who I'm not here to fight you because I don't deserve it. But someone who does deserve it's like here. And then Knight came out, and also just the way that whole bit was shot, the framing of seeing Roman in the really really thick sunglasses that LA Knight was wearing.
That was good.
It was really good the way they did that. And I noticed that way with Awe as well. There were certain cameras or certain spots or certain visuals set up to make everything look cracking. and the just that kind of way. And you know, even you know, if you look at it from the from another point of view, you know that Roman was firmly in LA Knight's sights, I suppose. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at it that way, just it built that up. But I still don't think he's going to be the one to knock the tribal chief.
Yeah, I seen a funny thing. Table. I seen a funny thing in on Twitter as well. It was like that image, you know, that image of, like you said, of Roman and his glasses. It was just like the tweet was, "Take your glasses off, so we can actually see what you're looking at." And it was just Rhea Ripley's arse in the glasses. I was like, game's a game, fair play. But yep. Nah, it's, the way they're doing these visuals and that is good. You can see the little sort of nuances they're doing with it as well. It's like they've hired a new another writer just to sort of add those fine points. Just say, why don't you add that? Why don't you do that?
The one in law that I was thinking of was the Ricochet v Nakamura match, when Ricochet did the shooting star press off the entranceway. But and there was like they had about like 9 different angles, but there was one shot. There was a cameraman was set up right below it, so you saw every rotation, you saw every movement of Ricochet going for it. It was like that's money. It's absolute money in the production on that. You know, especially at a time when AEW are getting ragged on for like the size of the crowds and stuff. That shot showed just you know how and or those series of shots just showed how impressive it can look when you do have a full arena and the reactions that you get from it. So I really really enjoyed that.
Shot you've done, Chris. I hope they put that in a t-shirt because that was iconic. But yeah, to the point, I think. I've said this before about LA Knight. I don't think he needs a world title run to be over. He's one of those guys that can be a star without a belt. He reminds me of guys like your Roddy Piper's and your Mr. Perfect's, guys that never got the big world title run, but it didn't matter. Their character alone made them big stars, and they were never out the main event scene, or at least the upper mid card scene. So I don't think he really needs it, and he's clearly won WWE management over with the work he's doing. So I think he's going to be fine in the long term anyway.
I think with that as well, though, there's a part where, see, with Roddy Piper and everything, it was like the writers and all that back then would have all these sort of like side quests and that they could do that weren't the world title, but a lot of the stuff nowadays is kind of you beat the Miz. And then you beat the next guy, and then you beat sort of Roman's sort of little henchman, and then you're at Roman. It's a bit harder nowadays, I think, for LA Knight for the next 2 years. Just like, what's he going to do? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like more orientated sort of mission wise rather than these side quests. Kind of get away with as much nowadays, eh?
You do think, well, if he doesn't win the title, where's the longevity then? But you say that about everyone now. I'm questioning now about Drew McIntyre. Yes, I know he's getting that title shot with Seth in Saudi Arabia, but I think it's just to set up Damien Priest cashing in. I think that's the only reason he's there, because he was never a guy who was going to get it. But look, we'll keep it positive. You know, it's great to see that LA Knight is getting his big title match with Roman, and I'm sure that'll be a great match as well. So very good pick there, Lewis. Chris, what have you got for us this week for a headline?
Yep, so I am going to stick with the Fed, and I'm going to go with Nick Aldis being unveiled as the new SmackDown General Manager. I liked how both SmackDown and Raw had their season premiere, because both episodes this week seemed to feel bigger and bolder. And you know, just in the presentation, as I say, the camera shots and whatnot, and having the introduction of Aldis as an authority figure, I think is a shrewd move, because he's been buzzing about the WWE for a wee while. There's been talk of him coming in and doing stuff. What I thought was quite interesting was how, although it was, you know, part of a big segment and they'd Triple H doing it, there wasn't a lot of fanfare about it. You know, he didn't come out from backstage. He didn't come out to a big entrance with music or anything like that.
He was just there.
He just came out kind of through the crowd. And you could tell from the reaction of the crowd that a good portion of them didn't have a clue who he was. Like, they had no idea who he was. I think, you know, if it had been, you know, a Regal or a Mick Foley or something like that, you know, they'd get the full treatment. But because nobody really knows, you know, the mainstream WWE fan or the casual WWE fan will have no idea about what he's done in the NWA. They won't know about his time in TNA. They'll not care that he was a gladiator. You know, he's...
I get the impression, Chris, it was a much bigger deal here in our country because he's much better known here. He was part of that Gladiator cast. He had the revival in the mid-2000s. He was Impact Champion here, I think. Did they not do Big Brother or something? I seem to remember that for some weird reason. Or something like Big Brother.
I can't remember. I don't think so. But
I'm sure I remember he was on a reality TV show. But anyway, I know he had a column in the Sun for a while, didn't he?
I think he did something there. But I think the introduction of him as that authority figure, you know, it's a good role for them. And, you know, maybe down the line it will transition into an in-ring thing for them, you know, maybe a Royal Rumble appearance, that kind of thing. And the getting himself over really quickly with the Dominic Mysterio bit,
was a brilliant, brilliant line, man.
Yep, just I'm a big fan of your dad's. Just absolutely set the tone for him. So I'm excited to see where that's going to go. And obviously with him bringing Kevin Owens to SmackDown as you know, his first role or his first thing to do in the job as part of like the Cody exchange and everything like that. I thought that was really well done. And even the way that KO came out, you know. We're so used to seeing them coming out in their branded colours when they jump ship. So I liked the blue KO, the blue tape on Kevin's shirt, and the wee look to see he's like, I'm coming out, but where's Sammy? I liked that. But the cameras just about caught it, but it was a nice touch. And then again, I'm interested to see what we do with him, if he's going to get embroiled in the Bloodline stuff, you know, if he's going to go back to the US title scene, all that kind of stuff. It's really interesting to see the direction that Kevin's going to go in.
Stay babyface or drink? There's a heel turn here.
I think, you know, SmackDown, again, it's only recently that I've got back into watching it, but it's quite heavy with the heels. And I think having something like Owens that can be seen as a proper babyface, I think it could be a good thing because, you know, he's done a lot of good work as a face this year with his anger management and stuff, and he can still be in that kind of tweener role as well. So I'd keep him as a babyface just now, but if they end up leading to a Sammy against KO match, you know, whether it's at WrestleMania or SummerSlam next year, it'd be interesting to see how the turn happens.
That'd be a first time ever.
Okay,
no, Logan Paul. But a million, man. They've had one at WrestleMania, I'm sure, haven't they? Yeah, they did one at WrestleMania.
That was Logan Paul.
Yeah, I did. So even though they've maybe faced each other a few times, it'd be good seeing. Give them half an hour at WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Give them or SummerSlam or something, because we got undersold with the AJ Nakamura sort of dream match and everything. They've done that a couple of times. It's just like the expectations are so high for some people like that.
I remember seeing this on one of the early pods we did when DL was on it. I still want him to do the dream ending or Kev winning the WWE title and Sammy winning the world, and then having them both together and at Philadelphia as well, the home indie wrestling, two of the indie darlings doing that together. That would be so poignant and beautiful. It won't happen, of course. We know Cody's, but 90% sure it's Cody dethroning Roman. But you know, that would have been really nice. I mean, on as you're saying about Nick Aldis, Lewis, I'll come to use in this one. Aldis being the SmackDown GM, and Adam, what's his name again?
Pierce.
Adam Pierce, he being the Raw GM. Do you think we're returning to the days of the kind of authority thing, or do you think it's going to be back in the days when it was Stephanie McMahon in charge of SmackDown, and Eric Bischoff in charge of Raw. Stephanie was very much babyface, Bischoff was very much heel. Do you think we're going to see that kind of dynamic?
I like it. I really like it when it's sort of the proper brand supremacy throughout the year and that as well. Like, mention the other show, you know what I mean? Mention if they've had a shite week or something, just be like, carnage that's going on over right. at Raw. We've had a brilliant week. This is happening. Like, build the whole sort of year up to Survivor Series as well. Obviously, just under the back burner, on the back burners, but just have a little level of animosity. So having one as a heel and one of a as a face sort of makes that show a little bit more sort of valuable and a little bit more sort of like a bit more about it rather than just this two people that come out. And because all we've heard with Adam Pearce, really, like, he's done a good job and everything, but a lot of this stuff has just been coming out and breaking up fights and stuff, you know what I mean? A lot of the time, break up this and giving a reason for these things to happen, but give them a reason to be there as well. Why is it Nick Aldis? You know what I mean? It's not just, you don't just want that authority figure to be there to Nia Jax is fighting Shayna Baszler, or why? Okay, all right, get Adam Pearce in and say he's made the match. You know what I mean? Give them sort of storylines within as well, to give them reason to be there as well, because I'm sure Nick Aldis can still go as a heel. Be brilliant to see him just like pissing on someone for the whole year, but for a reason, you know what I mean? Like, someone just pissed him off the whole year. Right, we're going to have a fight now. Or Adam Pearce, because Adam Pearce can probably still go as well. You know what I mean? Maybe even ends
he's
with
the better as well.
I know, maybe it even ends with a Pearce-Aldis match at some point. Something just to have a reason for them being there.
I'd quite like it if Aldis brought in Spud as his number two or something like that. Because he's still there in creative, isn't he?
I'm sure he is. Yeah,
he's still there. Do Drake Maverick, whatever.
He can better bring a bit of the kind of comedy relief kind of thing.
Aye, I think that'd be quite good.
Aye, I think just on Nick Aldis, I think it's just great to see him in WWE finally. It's baffled me as to how he never got signed previously, because he's got everything he's ever wanted. You know, big guy, great look, great talker, really good at being a heel, can go in the ring. You know, he had every box that they wanted ticked. It always baffled me that he never got a big shot with him prior to when he was in his kind of his heyday, especially because he could have been the guy that kind of spearheaded, you know, whenever they did the UK tours, or he could have been the guy that would have been front and centre when they had NXT UK.
Well, obviously, so, the second choice.
Well, yeah, behind the big one. But you know, when it comes to signing UK talent, they seem to miss out on some great
ones.
But,
yeah.
Hey, you know that they know what they want. But you know, congratulations, Nick Aldis, for finally getting the gig. So yep, two excellent picks there. Just because I have to choose, I'm going to go with Nick Aldis coming in as SmackDown GM, so Chris, you win the point on that one.
Thank you very much.
And
I was trying to get a lead for the quiz. If we have a quiz, I need a 7-0 lead.
Because you're a man possessed this week. You've got a vendetta this week. But the headline I'm going to go for here, and apologies for this, Chris, this is why you're in the big box, because I'm shite at this. Aldis nicks a brand new job.
No, that's good. That's probably in line with something added on. So, take that.
Thank you. So, moving Mary along, we'll now go to the back page. And this one, we pick out what was our favourite matches of the past 7 days. Chris, you won the point there, so I'll come to you first. What's your pick of the week?
I was going to pick Ricochet against Nakamura. Again, I was real impressed with that match that I seen there when I was watching Raw back today. Another one that was in my mind is one that you guys, I know for sure you wouldn't have seen it yet. It was Myla Grace against Debbie Keitel from Titanic Wrestling's show at the weekend that I was commentating on. They had a trick-or-treat fight.
Throw that in there. A little plug for yourself.
when it's up on YouTube, you know, it's a cracking match. It was a Halloween themed street fight. Debbie doing her best, Nurse Ratchet, impression against Miley Grace, current Titanic Women's Wrestling Champion, dressed as Buzz Lightyear. So they had a really good, fun, and at times quite brutal match. The finish to it was pretty special. So that was probably my favourite match of that show.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, but do you ever put that on YouTube?
Yes. Titanic Wrestling on YouTube. You'll find loads of shows from the last couple of years, a few of them that I get humiliated on, and a few of them that I commentate on as well. Once that goes up in the next few weeks, that'd be the one to look for. But in terms of a more readily available match, Christian Cage against Bryan Danielson for the TNT Championship on Collision on Saturday night was a very, very good match. I mean, as you would expect, Christian's in the form of his career at the minute. Some would say Bryan Danielson never has a bad match, and the two of them together in that championship match as the main event on Collision was top notch. There was a lot of tomfoolery beforehand. The promo train at the start of Collision, where Christian came out to talk down Edge, Adam Copeland, from behind a load of security guards, and then FTR came out, and Nick Wayne and Luchasaurus, and it all just kind of broke down. Ricky Starks and Big Bill as well, it was quite an odd exchange between Ricky Starks and Copeland. I think Ricky Starks threw a bit of a stray dig at Copeland, which he didn't appreciate. But that all fed into the main event. And again, you know, technical wrestling was on point. There was a lovely sort of submission and a pinning predicament exchange that they had, where Danielson was just tying Christian up in knots, imagining to get his shoulders on the deck. then Christian started targeting the recently repaired arm of Danielson, which got him back into it. Christian was chucking out spears towards the end of it, and then in the final throws of it, Danielson hit the Bisaiku knee. Christian kicked out of it. Then Danielson put on the label lock, and Big Bill interfered, which is something that doesn't happen an awful lot in AEW. They have like the interference finishes. Big Bill comes down, distracts the referee, which allows Ricky Starks to come in and brain Danielson with the tag team belt. Christian Cage gets the win, and then all the guys for the start of the show come back in and start battling each other as well. But, you know, great 20-odd minute championship match. Christian Cage obviously retains, which keeps his momentum going. Danielson takes a loss, which at this stage in his career doesn't really affect him, but it's just further than everything with that pocket of wrestlers on Collision, which is in sort of recovery mode after the whole CM Punk debacle.
No surprise Christian won. I think, given how red hot he is, they're not taking that belt off him anytime soon. Part of me was thinking, though, Danielson could do it, because they're in this... You know, they're making it clear that Danielson's in his last year. He says he's been serious about this, he's in his last year. You would think surely they're going to give him at least one run with one of the big belts before he retires. And I know, as you're saying, Chris, you know, Danielson, you know, he's a legend, he can afford losses. At the same time, though, I'm getting a bit bored of seeing him lose. And I kind of wanted to see him win this. And Christian just go off and just have a big feud with Edge and have a big match at Full Gear. Do you think that could have happened?
I think that he's still one of the best wrestlers in the world. What is he? Mm-hmm. Must be early to mid-40s.
He's 44 when I checked.
Like you said, he's only got a year left in him. It's whether they want to have it a sort of a long reign, good sort of matches, end him out in a big high, or just have that sort of explosive reign where maybe a lot happens in a short period of time and more of a story is told quicker than just as good matches, because he can do that anyway. So I don't know whether they're holding this off for a small run at the world title, or whether he's going to win anything at all, or maybe that's his thing. Maybe he's decided that, you know, because we're a smaller sort of company as well, we don't want to see it sort of, I wouldn't say regressing, but he wants, before his time's up, he wants to just leave it in as good a position as possible with the sort of younger talent coming up.
I mean, he's certainly proven he's unselfish. You know, he's wanting to help the Starks, the MJFs, etc. Kind of become the big stars for the future. But you know, it'd be nice if he's serious about this. Being his last year, you know, get one more crowning achievement. I know back in his indie days, he won the PWG title in his very last match with him and immediately forfeited it. You know, and I'm not a fan of that. Like, a guy winning it and immediately forfeiting it, but if it's dancing, you know, I wouldn't hate that. But
deserves it.
You know, yeah. But I mean, like I said, we can't not they can't, you know, take the title off Christian when he's having this red hot run, this whole face of TNT Father of the Year thing. So it makes sense to keep it on. And I think, but it looks things, they're renewing the Ricky Starks Danielson feud again with Starks interfering as well.
Yeah, I could maybe see them giving Danielson a partner and him going after the tag titles. I know that FTR were involved in the big melee at the end, but that would be another way to keep the Starks and Danielson rivalry going. I mean, on your point there, Steve, as well, about having a title on Danielson, I would love it. Like, you know, his whole time in AEW, he's been putting guys over. Like, that's what he's been in there for. I'd love him to go on, like, an Orange Cassidy-style run with, like, the TNT Championship.
But
squash guys. Just squash guys every week. You know, he's done the
very least, give him a run with the ROH belt.
Yeah, give him something where instead of him, you know, like, you know, doing what he can to put everyone over, just have him annihilate everybody. You know, and it'll be a case of like, you want a shot, come and prove it, and then, you know, after four or five where he's like beat guys in like under 3 minutes and stuff like that, it's like, you know, who's going to step up? You know, have him that kind of that Goldberg-esque kind of run where he is, you know, just, you know, choking guys out all the time, breaking ankles, snapping necks, all that sort of stuff. Just to have him be a right bad bastard, which the BCC should be putting into him. You know, that's death jitsu kind of thing. But that would have been my pick for the back page this week.
Very good pick indeed. Lewis, what's your pick for the good old graps this week?
I'm gonna go kind of the opposite end of look and size and sort of technique for this. You've got the kind of smaller guys with Christian and Brian Danielson. I'm gonna go to the super heavyweights over on Monday Night Raw, Gunther and Reed. Honestly, It was exactly what you would expect it, and even a bit more, I think. The match started, first of all, it made Reed look like a massive star. He's gone up leaps and bounds after this match, and the story that was told in it was quite good as well. So they couldn't get each other up at the start. They were just trying to wear each other out with clubbing blows and clotheslines and just banging into each other, chops, things like that, to wear each other down to eventually be able to get them up. And it got to a stage where you're thinking, Gunther's a way to get him here. And it was actually Reed that lifted him up and was throwing him about. He was doing the I can't remember the name of it, the one that Randy Orton does when they come off the ropes and he sort of spins him. It's like some sort of slam. Like the spinning power slam. He does that to him, and then he throws him about on the hardest part of the ring. He throws him on the apron when Gunther goes to the powerbomb, and the sort of story is Gunther trying to get him up during the match. And eventually Gunther hits a couple of spoilers here. Gunther hits a couple of lariats, eventually gets him down. He's going for the powerbomb the whole match, can't get it. He eventually has to settle for a splash, doesn't get him. So at one point you're thinking he's got nothing left here. Gunther, with one last bit of strength, gets him up, powerbombs him like he was powerbombing Rey Mysterio. So easy, no stumbles, technique absolutely perfect, straight up, straight down, 1, 2, 3. And it's brilliant, because Gunther, it's like these things, see when Roman Reigns beats people with the same ending, comes back, hits him in the finisher, dominates, wins, all that, whatever. When Gunther does it, because he's so varied in his stuff, and he's so just good to watch, you don't mind it. You know, he's been doing this for well over a year now. It's just brilliant to watch. So I don't know if either of you guys have seen that match.
Seen it, to say, because, you know, huge Gunther fan, and Punch and Reed, I've not caught much of him, I'll be honest, but I really like his look, and I've heard really good things about him, and I can I probably will have a look at it after this, to be honest, because you've sold that really well, Lewis, thank you. I can almost hear a Gunther chop right off Bronson Reed's chest. I could almost hear it, almost like a gunshot. Like that alone would have been worth the admission. Gunther, you know, you forget he's held that IC title now. Is that not? Are we talking about 18 months now, give or take?
He's the longest ever now. Like, he beat the Honky Tonk Man record a couple of weeks back, he's in the record books anyway.
Aye, so we so often talk about who's the one that's going to dethrone Roman. I mean, we now need to ask that about Gunther, and I don't know who would be a clear-cut candidate for that. I know we reckon Drew had a chance at SummerSlam, that didn't happen. We thought maybe Sheamus, after he had that all-timer, Clash of the Castle, but that didn't happen. I know there was talk Chad Gable might have got it, but again, didn't happen. So who do you think's a likely candidate there?
Is that what you do with LA Knight?
Is
that what you do with LA Knight after the Roman? He gets put into the IC against Gunther and gets his just awards that way. I never got to see the match. I saw the aftermath of it, because I was kind of skip watching though. And interesting that you know, Gunther's doing what he can to, you know, kind of weed out all these competitors, setting the rest of the Imperium on guys. I think, you know, they're looking at Johnny Gargano, I think, as being his next shot, because I think they've been told Imperium have been told that if Johnny Gargano doesn't leave on a stretcher next week, then there'll be hell to pay, kind of thing. So I think that's maybe the way that they're going. And I like how they're doing matches with Bronson Reed as well. He had a real good big meat match the other week there with Otis, it was. They had a real good match there. And again, on Collision the other night there as well, you had Samoa Joe against Willie Mack. So again, two bigger guys to super heavyweights, I suppose, absolutely going at it, and it's good to see that kind of mix. You know, as I've talked about already this week, you had Nakamura against Ricochet, you know, where it's two lithe, agile, elastic men going at each other with aerial stuff and flips and whatnot, and then you've got a match like Gunther and Bronson Reed where it is just power, absolute power.
I was just going to say that Gunther's got to the territory of where, you know, it's the big stars fighting for the undisputed title. Who's going to beat Roman? It's got to be somebody massive that deserves it. You know, Cody. Okay, yeah, fair enough. But Gunther's almost got to that level of, not just because it's been such a long reign, but because he's so unstoppable. It's got to be believable. You know what I mean? Who is believable? It's almost like the ending of the streak. It's like, it's got to be worth it for someone. It's got to be believable, and you've got to understand that this person can actually beat Gunther. It can't be a roll up. It can't be anything like that. You've got Dragunov, who I think is one of the only ones right now who really makes sense, but he's obviously holding the NXT title, so he's out of the equation for a bit. Mm. Even someone like Carmelo Hayes is still, I think he's maybe a bit, he's not even at that level, I don't think, where he is believable. Chad Gable, don't think so yet. Johnny Gargano, don't think so yet. I just don't think it's, I could not tell you who the guy is.
Here's my pitch. You can almost hear people groan when I say it. Cena.
Mm.
Let me explain why. What's the one thing Cena's not done?
IC title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he like Danielson in AEW, has hinted, I'm probably not going to be wrestling much longer. In fact, this is my last run. What you're seeing me in here, this is my last run. Why not give him the romantic ending of finally, you know, getting the one trophy in the cabinet that he's not got? I know it could be better served, you know, putting over on an up-and-comer like a Bron Breakker, like a Carmelo Hayes. I know that would be better suited, but the romanticist in me would love to see Cena do it.
They could run it.
It'd be his Messi winning the World Cup moment.
And they could do it just basically carbon copy of the Miro WrestleMania match as well. You know, the All-American hero against the big fallen monster. So it's, you know, playing into all the tropes that you associate. In fact, that's what you do. You have Cena, instead of coming out as you know, Super Cena, have him come out as Peacemaker. You know, come out with...
That's the most dangerous and most unstoppable version of him.
That's how I do it. Have the song, the Wigwam song, as his theme instead of, you know, the usual John Cena one. Just have him for at least make a mode,
or at least the word life Cena, like the old school Cena from back in the Ruthless Aggression era, when he would come out and do a rap. Because that was like street thug Cena. At least, if they can't do Peacemaker, if DC don't allow that, at least do that.
Because mm-hmm. Peacemaker's dad was a Nazi, would that be too much on the nose?
It can't be Nazi against Nazi.
Nazi adjacent.
That's a cancelled
47 minutes in, we almost kept it clean. Two great picks there, lads, well done. You've made it very, 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 very hard on me. I'm actually going to go with Lewis. My first reason, just to prove people I'm not a fucking AEW mark. And second reason, just because I want to finally say this and quote Ross Twiddell on Cult Oil. Like, this is the headline: big beefy men slapping meat. That's going that's what it is. That's like caption that: big beefy men slapping meat. It's Bronson Reed against Gunther, isn't it?
Yep, certainly is. Can I argue with that?
Point to you, Lewis. So at this time, we're going to go to our centrefold, and this week our very own Chris Jack has scored an interview with Danny Luna and Flash Morgan Webster of Subculture at ahead of the Impact Wrestling Invasion Tour, and Chris is going to drop that in here now.
Danny, Flash, Subculture, welcome to the Daft Sheet. How are you this evening?
I'm great, thank you very much.
Yeah, all good. Thanks, Chris.
Good stuff. Now, here on the Daft Sheet by Wrestling Daft, we are a podcast that likes to look at the wrestling news in as in-depth and as, you know, as petty and ill-informed ways as possible. So I thought the first thing that I'll start off with is one of the things we do on the Daft Sheet is we like to look at the most gossip-worthy headlines for the page 3 section that we fill on the podcast. So just to kind of like kick things off, what's the most out there rumor or bit of gossip that you've seen about yourselves in the dirt sheets over the last couple of years?
Danny, do you want to go first?
Oh, that's a good question. On my Wikipedia for a while, I was Spanish.
I can see that. I can see why they
No,
fully
you can't. You
assume
can't sit that, Chris. I'm the least Spanish person of all time. And yeah, they just said I was Spanish. I think they also said I was like 30. And I don't know if they just got like me and another wrestler mixed up, but I was very upset by it.
That's quite a tame. That's quite a tame number, you know, for the kind of things that, you know, probably get leveled at a lot of female wrestlers these days, you know, being the
They
cute.
don't mess with me, Chris. They don't mess with me.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And what about yourself, Flash? What's the kind of the worst thing you, or one of the better things that you've seen about yourself online? One of the most kind of sensational things?
I guess I don't know about it being like, fake or whatever, but I guess the biggest thing for me really was about a year ago, year and a half ago, probably was when my contract was coming up with WWE, and all of a sudden everybody seemed to know what was going on with that, and everyone was speculating where I was going and what was going on next. I guess there's years everywhere, or whatever. But yeah, I guess it was just when that was happening, and everyone was interested to see where I was going to end up next. And little did I know, we were all going to get released a couple of weeks, a couple of months later, and we'd end up at Impact Wrestling. So maybe they knew something before I did.
Possibly. I mean, that's a great lead into the first question I was going to ask you there, Flash. I was looking through your Twitter because I remember seeing a wee while ago you'd said something along the lines of that, you know, just over a year ago, whether it was due to the pandemic, whether it was due to the injuries and surgeries that you had, and also your WWE release, you said that you didn't know if you wanted to be doing wrestling full time anymore. So I suppose what I was going to ask was, what mindset change did you have? That has led you to, you know, not only, you know, still competing as a full-time wrestler, but doing so with Impact, being a former tag champion with Impact as well. What, you know, it's been such a kind of 180 that you've done in the last year from what you were saying about, you know, almost giving it up. What was the turning point or the mindset to get you to where you are now?
I guess it was kind of that's a two-part answer, really. Like the first one would be the fact that like it is a hard job when you're back on the independents. You have to have that grind, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of being on your own. So kind of being able to cut that corner a tiny little bit and be able to travel around with two of my best friends and kind of see the world with my best friends. And when we're jet lagged and we're tired and we're having those moments where we need to stay awake, and we're running on 3 hours of sleep, and we're all just laughing in the back of a car because we're all exhausted. It just makes that job a little bit easier. And this year has been one of the funnest of my career because of the friends I've been surrounded and the opportunities that's afforded me. So that would be like the first part. And the second part is that I started training people. So I've just opened a school up in Stoke-on-Trent, New Wave Wrestling West Midlands. And one of the biggest parts of why that school came open was because I was helping train a few people up in the West Midlands, and it was seeing their passion and their dedication and them wanting to succeed that made me kind of want to try harder, because I felt like, how could I promote this wrestling to them, and how could I tell them to, make your wrestling as good as possible and chase that dream, when I felt like I was almost like living a lie myself and kind of had one foot out the door. And the more I was teaching them, the more passion I was seeing from them, the more I was promoting it to them. I guess it kind of made me kind of want to chase it and lead by example. So yeah, that's the two things, really.
The training aspect really kind of like resonates with me. I did a bit of wrestling for the last couple of years myself, and kind of I retired, if you can call it retiring, earlier this year. But one of the things that I really enjoyed the most about the being in the whole wrestling bubble was the training and the seminars that the guys like yourself would do. I mean, I'm over here just outside Belfast. So over the last wee while, we've had the likes of Big Demo. We had, well, it was a really good Paul London one that we had a couple of years back as well. And guys like Tucker, Miley Grace, guys like that, they go in and they do seminars as well. So it does seem to be a big, massive thing. Do you get almost as much reward, a rewarding feeling passing on the knowledge that you've learned from places like Impact, from your WWE time, to you know, new up and comers, and is that where you see, you know, your future after you retire, going into the training side of things?
I definitely do, but I know that like Danny's been doing some great work down in Wales with New Wave, kind of offering all female classes and being a coach at New Wave down in Newport. But you've been smashing that, haven't you, Danny?
Yeah, I mean it is rewarding. It's almost in a different way, I suppose. I guess you get such a rush when you actually wrestle yourself, but getting to see someone else experience that and getting to see them kind of put two and two together and the cogs start to turn and everything kind of start to work and know that you've kind of helped get them there, I think it's one of the most rewarding feelings you can have. And I think seeing that kind of, you can see the love for wrestling in people's eyes when they do it and when it works and the way they look at you when it works is the best feeling in the world, man. And we're so lucky, like we have a great crop of girls here in Wales. And I think, you know, the stuff I get to do at Impact, I can then come home and bring it on to these girls. And it's just invaluable for them and therefore invaluable for me to help them, you know.
Cool, cool. And in terms of yourself there, Danny, you know, with the training that you're passing on, what is the stuff that you're kind of holding back from then that you're putting into your own stuff to, you know, make the moves that you have and impact?
I don't think I'm holding back anything. I think it's more of a case of, you know, I've been doing this a lot longer than they necessarily have. And I don't think I'd ever necessarily have anything that I wouldn't feel comfortable then giving back to them, because everyone has their own sort of pathway to success, you know. And even if they did absolutely everything I did, they probably wouldn't end up doing the exact same things that I did, because it is, sometimes it's luck of the draw, you know, sometimes it's the way you look and sometimes it's the effort you put in. And I just think we can give people as many chances and as many like tips and help and as many, like you said, seminars and experiences as we possibly can, because all we want is great pro wrestlers all around the world. Like, there's nothing but good we can do with the experiences we have.
Cool, cool. And that experience that you have had, it's obviously it's taking you to Impact. You debuted there earlier this year, and it's been quite a whirlwind for you, you know, looking through what you've done at Impact so far. You've been tagging with Trinity. You've recently been feuding with Deonna Purrazzo, and you even called out Jordan Grace on Twitter, you know, to try and set some stuff up on the Invasion tour that's happening later in October. How have you adapted to, you know, the Impact style, and how has the locker room sort of welcomed you in as such?
Oh, I mean, they're wonderful. Like, I was very lucky that there was a few girls there that I'd met before, just through the indies and stuff. Like, Jodie Threat is a real good friend of mine, and she was the first match I had at Impact, so that was an absolute dream. And, like, I'd wrestled Jordan Grace a few years ago when I was a lot younger, so there was a little familiarity there too. But honestly, like, it was just the most welcome environment, and I'm sure you've seen on Twitter, like, all the posts about the big women's main event they had at Impact 1000. And there's all these wonderful photos of them all just celebrating together, because they're all so empowered by each other, from these legends from back in the day that have come back to the new people that start in, and they all got to be together and really kind of celebrate that these kind of knockouts that Impact have been pushing so hard. You know, they've pushed for women's wrestling for a lot longer than some people have. And I think it's so important that it comes from within. It comes from these girls that just want everyone to do well.
Thanks again to Impact for setting up that interview. Get to their shows to see Subculture. You'll also see Joe Henry and our very own Grado and the rest of the Impact roster in Glasgow on October 26th, Newcastle October 27th, and Coventry both on October 28th and 29th. I'd love to go, but unfortunately I am about to become a homeowner, so luxuries such as wrestling tickets and attending shows is unfortunately a no-go for me, but I'm sure whoever does go to any of those shows will have a great time, and it's great to see Impact travelling here in the UK.
Yeah, we also also have another member of that Invasion tour as part of a future show, because myself and Billy, who are on, Billy definitely is. I'm still trying to get onto the media call tomorrow with Will Ospreay. So if we are able to get the audio from that in time for next week or the week after, we might be chucking that in here as well.
Lovely, lovely.
Unless Billy just sandbags it for his own podcasts.
Big time now.
Nice. Big time. Well, hopefully we'll nab a
quick interview with Mr. Osprey. That'd be something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving swiftly on. So up next is our page 3 section. This is where we pick out any piece of scintillating gossip that's currently travelling all throughout the wrestling world. Lewis, you won the last point, so let me come to you on this. What's your piece of PG3 sleazy gossip this week?
For this one, I kind of want to create the gossip. You know, I want to. I want us to be a shitster here. And I know this isn't going to go down well with you, but maybe you'll be able to back your company. Nice and well. So, obviously, as mentioned previously, we've seen the pretty pitiful attendances at Collision, and Rampage is, I don't know, is it pretty much down the shitter at the moment? Is there much going on in terms of fan base and things like that?
Yep. You might think I was going to get defensive here, but I'm not, because you're absolutely right. It is a bit concerning to see that. What I will say, though, is that this happened about this time last year with AEW. There was a significant and noticeable dip in attendances, and photos were getting shared on Twitter and Instagram of very large sections blackened out or tapered off because of poor attendances. I think there was one Dynamite shortly before Christmas. I think the attendance was below 3,000, which is woeful for a national wrestling organisation that's on telly every week. And it's happening again. It's hard to pinpoint. But I'm thinking about it, and here's the things that spring to mind. We're still in the grips of a cost of living crisis, which is worldwide, right? That's having its effects, and we're in the final quarter of the year. People are thinking Christmas. It's that kind of time of year where you start thinking about the pennies more, winter as well. So gas and electric bills are about to go up. I know that is what it's like here in the UK. I don't think the US is much different from that. So there's that kind of factor. The other thing is that I've noticed the places they've been travelling to, it's been weird fucking towns. Like, one of them was Utah. Utah's a teeny wee state. Sorry?
No, put that on.
Oh, took my well there, sorry. Utah, but why are you going there? I mean, it's there's no famous wrestlers ever came out of Utah. There's only one city, Salt Lake City, and it's, you know, the only thing it's known for is the Killers and the Osmonds. You know, so it doesn't scream wrestling city.
The Killers are thinner, by the way.
Shit, are they?
Aye, but they're Mormon, so like that's where the kind of the Utah, Salt Lake City kind of thing comes in. But aye, they're from Nevada.
Right, sorry, excuse my ignorance on that one.
Ah, sorry.
but maybe I'm just clutching at straws as an AEW fan trying to find excuses for them. It's hard to pinpoint. The big reason I think, because we touched on this last week about why AEW's ratings are struggling as well. And part of it is down to Tony Khan. He seems to know how to run a wrestling company, but doesn't really realise he's also running a TV show. And I think this is apparent as well. He's a billionaire. What are the things you say about billionaires? Billionaires live in bubbles.
Mm.
Right?
Yes,
they don't live. Yeah, you know, they don't face the everyday struggles. They don't live the lives that we do. They're surrounded by yes men largely, because pretty much all the people they're spending time with are people that they employ.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that type of factor. I also worry that there's nobody that's in the company that's got the balls to say to Tony Khan, like, Tony, this has got to be said. Attendance are dwindling, TV ratings are not great. There's going to need to be some serious changes made here. Chris, what's your opinion on this?
I think a lot of it's down to the marketing. You know, anytime WWE goes to a town, whether that's, you know, Utah, Salt Lake City, whatever, they'll have The Miz doing the weather on the local news channel. They'll have they used to have the Bellas turning up and everything. You know, they would go out of their way to make sure that their wrestlers were promoting the shit out of the show. And you don't get that. You don't get that with AEW. I mean, the prime example, if you look at All In, they had Saraya on Good Morning Britain like a week and a half before. You know, there was nothing. You know, we kind of spoke about it, I think, either on here or in the Discord about, you know, why was, like, I don't know, CM Punk not on Sunday Brunch? You know, these kind of things that WWE always do. And that's as much as Tony can maybe wants to be the complete opposite to WWE. To get bums in seats, you need to put faces in front of faces. And if he's not doing that properly, then they're never going to grow. So I think the marketing, when they are going to these towns, could be a lot better. I mean, you mentioned there, like, again, we've gone back to the Utah thing. WWE were in Salt Lake City a couple of weeks ago as well. You know, I think they were at the... Oh, what is it? I've been there before. Whatever the Jazz play, whatever that arena's called.
That's Salt Lake City. Aye.
So, like, so WWE have played there, or I've been there in the last wee while, and there's been a few instances where AEW have gone into a territory WWE have been in, you know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks before. So they're obviously getting the jump in that regard.
I think as well that it shows you as well AEW isn't as big as we think it is, because you need to really be a wrestling fan to know what AEW is. I remember telling my pals when I went to Wembley, I saw AEW, their immediate response was, "What's AEW?" And like, that's kind of shocked me. It's like, I had to explain there's another big wrestling promotion out there. But they, you know, they were flabbergasted. Like, what? There was a big wrestling show at Wembley and it wasn't WWE.
I know, that's what you say as well. It's like, somebody says to you, it's like, "Oh, I'm going to see the wrestling," and they'll go, "Oh, is that the WWE, the John Cena?" And that's the automatic response you get. I don't know if that's just the burden of time that AEW's not had. You know what I mean? Like, they've not got that extensive history yet. But
WWE's got a 40-50 year head start. WWE, you know, because it was where The Rock came from, it's where Hulk Hogan came from, like, it's where The Undertaker came from. Like, they're pop culture icons that even your mum and dad know about. You know, whereas AEW's not got that. It's still just a wrestling promotion. It's why WWE can go to a place like Utah or Montana, one of the outback states, as they call it, and still get a sellout crowd. AEW still hasn't got that pulling power. It's got to stick really with the big markets that it's used to. Chicago, Philadelphia, Boston, the big cities where there is a much bigger hub of wrestling fans, if it wants to present itself with bigger crowds. And let's be honest, wrestling shows are way better in those places anyway, because they have the hardcore element as well. They always make a show better. I've never known a great wrestling show to take place in fucking Huntsville, Alabama, or Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You know, it's got to be one of the big, great traditional sports cities, in my view.
I just typed in, WWE Utah, just because we're giving them healthy slander right now. And that one listener that we've got from Utah is completely tuned off to this episode right now.
Like, you motherfuckers!
one month ago, there was a Raw in Utah, Salt Lake City, 1 month ago to the day.
Wow.
And I'm trying to find attendance ratings of that, but you'd imagine that that's like...
The Delta, it used to be the Delta Centre, that's what it was.
Yeah, you imagine that's pretty decent attendance for WWE.
I've got family over there, and I remember that I went to a rodeo in the Delta Centre when I was about 8, 9 year old. And it was the most batshit crazy thing I had ever seen at that time in my wee life. I just remember being like right up high in it, and just seeing this basketball court covered in sand and horseshit. It was mental, absolutely mental. Like, good venue. Although I don't, that was at the time when the Jazz were good as well. Or they were just kind of on up.
Carl Malone days.
The mailman, Carl Malone, John Stockton, right. Greg Ostertag, all the ones that were running the Bulls quite close for a wee while. That's one for Lab on Basketball Daft.
Basketball Draft. Get your Patreon subscribe now. No, don't really, because it's a fake podcast. It doesn't exist.
I always thought that. I just never. I swear, like 5 or 6 times I've looked and just typed in Spotify Basketball Draft.
Well, you know what? See,
fuck off. So Rab's worked me this whole time. Brilliant.
See if Falkirk Daft can be a thing, then there's no reason why Basketball Draft can't be a thing.
Well, the NBA Falkirk season, that's real. The NBA season started last night, so now's the time.
Aye, get on it.
Let's just add a little section, Basketball Daft and this.
Chris, we'll come on to your, what's your choice of tintillating gossip this week?
So again, going back to Law this week, I was very interested, as I spoke earlier on about, you know, Kevin Owens going over to SmackDown. That leaves Sami Zayn kind of ploughing his own furrow on Law. He came out with a promo at the start of Law this week to say that now's his time to prove that he should be considered a World Heavyweight Championship contender, which I am all for. He had some good interactions throughout the night with Jey Uso, but being conflicted about how he's glad he's on Raw, but he's pissed off that Kevin's gone away. And then Jey tried to kind of buddy up with him, but he's like, no, I need to do something for myself. Still showing the conflict. Then Drew got in his face about stuff as well. So they're having a match next week. So you've got to think that Sammy's going to be... If Drew doesn't take it off Seth, then you've got to think that Sammy's going to be the big baby face to go up against Seth Rollins for the Heavyweight Championship, coming into kind of Survivor Series, Royal Rumble type stuff. And that's probably where, you know, he's probably as good a pick as any to get his World Heavyweight Championship shot at this time. So yeah, just that whole everything that kind of surrounds Sami Zayn going for the Heavyweight Championship is something that I find quite intriguing, quite titillating for me, getting my nipples hard.
He's got the every man appeal to Sami Zayn. I think that's why he's so over that. He's just a generally good guy, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of great charity work. He's broke the racial divide, shall we say? Because he's a devout Muslim as well, and doesn't hide that as well. And that's not, that's not been to his detriment. That's very much been to his gains. And it's made him even more appealing as well. And yeah. I kind of wanted it to happen earlier in the year when we had the whole bloodline thing going, and when he got to face Roman in Montreal in his hometown, even though I knew it wasn't going to happen. I got probably the next best thing with the tag team title win with Kevin when they had that bright match against the Usos in the night one main event at Mania. So it would be good to see him get put back into that world title scene. Obviously, we're talking about him against Seth, so does that mean Seth's going back to heel? Because surely Sammy couldn't be the heel in that face-off. Sorry to interrupt there, but could are we talking maybe after Damian Priest wins it?
There is that option as well. I mean, you've kind of got the way that they've set things up just now. You've got Seth, you've got Damien, you've got Drew, and you've got Sammy. So any combination of those four, you're going to get good matches, you're going to get hard-hitting matches, you're going to get some great technical stuff, you're going to get big man v wee man. There's a whole, just between those four, there's going to be some great stuff going on there. And I think, they feel good. So say, for example, Seth beats Drew, Damien Priest cashes in, you've got the Judgment Day with all that, with all the gold, essentially, because they've got the tag team belts, Lea Ripley's got the women's, Dirty Dom's got the NXT one North American and everything like that. So you've got that whole thing. Then maybe, you know, that's your Survivor Series set up. You know, you've got every day that the Judgment Day's fucked over against the Judgment Day for Survivor Series. Then that sparks off towards Loyal Rumble. Set, you know, have Sammy even win the Rumble. I know that everyone's kind of expecting Cody or Gunther. Have Sammy win the Rumble. That gives him all the momentum for that kind of thing. And he gets his WrestleMania moment that he's having to one up for this year. So yeah, I'm all aboard the Zayn train.
Yeah. So I'm on board with that. In fact, just to push things along, I'm going to actually put that in as my pick, and I think we'll use that as the headline, Chris. We're all aboard the Zayn train.
Zayn train?
Because mine was push. Mine was going to be a second chance for Sammy with a question mark, but yours is way better. All aboard the Zayn train. We'll move things along now. Usually we would do our TV pages picks, but sadly, as is usually the case, we've ran over. I'm sure there was two lovely picks you had there. Maybe we'll pick up again next week, but because we want to get on to a good old fashioned quiz.
Yes, that's what everybody wants from us.
Yes,
Karate Warrior 2 last week was tweeting at me that he absolutely popped for all the on this days that we were peppering in through last week's quiz. Hopefully it's going to be just as poppable this week, Steve.
Well, it's going to be a bit more competitive this week.
Yes, I know, because Lewis, you're determined to have
one
revenge,
fucking
but...
point.
See, this is why I asked one of you to present this week, because I want to win the quiz. That's sort of, I can't win if I'm asking the questions.
Alright, well, you might like the quiz I've got. It's, we're calling it Not My Name. That's not my name. That's not my name. And what it is referring to is, I'm going to give you 7 names.
Okay.
And it's the real names of wrestlers. And you just simply have to come in and tell me who's that wrestler's name is, or what that person's wrestler's name is. That's not my name.
That's not my name. Okay. That's not my name.
Just come in, just say your name first. Don't worry, it's nothing overly complicated, and it's all popular wrestlers. I ain't going to give you some snide one, like a guy that wrestled in Impact twice in 2008 or any of that crap. It's all very popular wrestlers, and they're all alive. Some of them are a couple of them are retired, but all live ones, no dead ones. So nothing morbid and straightforward. I'll start off a relatively easy one. That's not my name. That's not my name. So, buzzers at the ready. Say your name when you know it. Michael Higginbottom.
What's this? Shawn Michaels.
Oh, this was first.
Was
Shawn Michaels.
I was pretty sure I was fucking first there.
Give us a point. Give us a point. Let us on the board.
Fuck. I knew this was going to happen.
Right, we'll go one about then.
Right, well, can we carry it over?
Carry the one.
Carry the one.
Well,
cool.
Carry the
we'll
one.
Just go one about then.
Now, let's just say we both get that one night.
Last time this happened in night, because it's like, well,
I feel like San Marino after point. Scoring their first goal in 2 years.
Aye.
Dog pile.
The crowd on everything.
Oh. Ending a 2 year dry spell.
Well, I'm nearly lent that now.
let's not go down now. That's for another podcast, right? We'll give you a point each, right? Because I knew I had to give at least one easy one. So the next one is. That's not my
name. That's not my name. Chris, don't shout it out as well. Don't shout it out. Just wait till he says who got it.
It's. Next one is Tyson Smith.
Chris,
go ahead.
That is. Oh fuck. It's. No, pass, shit.
Alright. Lewis, you want to take a stab?
I've got absolutely no clue, but can I ask what promotions? Is it just AEW, WWE, or are we going?
No, this one's AEW. That's the only clue I'm giving.
Tyson Smith.
See, I was thinking Oh, your boy that Samoa Joe broke his neck. Natties, man.
That's actually good. I'll go for Ricky Starks, just in case that's not his actual name.
Incorrect. It is, in fact, Kenny Omega.
Oh.
That's yep. pure. That's very pure.
I picked that because I thought, why the fuck's that not his actual wrestling? Aye, that's way better.
It's probably the Smith part of it's probably been the thing, but aye.
Aye. Or Tyson Omega.
Tyson Omega.
Aye. Cool. But no points on that one, so we'll move on. That's not my name. That's not my name. So this one, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of it here. Might need to spell the first one. It's Etior Ewan. And I'll spell it E-T-T-O-R-E.
Chris.
Chris, you were first.
Oh, no.
That is Big E or Big E Langston.
I knew that was him.
The meaty meat slapper with a
yes.
with the biscuit neck.
You need
to press the other bit on the soundboard there. Get the other one up. For getting it right. That's not my name. Not the other one. That's not my
name. Oh, yeah.
Aye. Acknowledge me.
Yeah. Right. So that's a point there for Chris. So we'll say it's 2-1 so far to Chris. The next one. Hold on. That's not my name. That's not my name. I might butcher the pronunciation on this one. Giona Didadio.
Lewis.
Go ahead, Lewis.
Not got it yet, I just wanted to get in there first. right, I'll throw someone out though. Giona Didadio.
It's a female, obviously, I should say.
Yeah.
I know exactly who it is, and I'm picturing another. I'm just blanking in the name.
I know it's not this person. I'm gonna have to just throw a random one out there. I'll go for Raquel Rodriguez. It's not.
Incorrect, Chris. It goes over to you.
It's, she was getting stalked. She loves donuts with Mandy, Mandy
yeah.
Rose.
You've got to say the name.
I know. In fact, is that even her? No, it's not, because that's Daria Benedetto, isn't it?
I know exactly who it is. I've heard that name before, but I can't remember it. I'm going to go search it up and just so I can have a laugh at you.
Right, okay. Incorrect on both parts. It is, in fact, and I'm surprised you didn't get it, Liv Morgan.
Liv Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I thinking then?
You don't think of Gigi Dolan?
You're thinking of Sonia Deville,
mate. Sonia Deville.
I've seen that one as well.
Samantha, I think, could probably pronounce that as well to you.
Okay. The next one I think you will both get. That's not my name. That's not my name. So it is Colby Lopez.
Lewis.
Chris.
Lewis is first.
Seth Rollins.
Acknowledge me.
To
all.
We are all
two
tied all. At 2-0. It's getting close, and we've got we've got two more to go. That's not my name. That's not my name. Okay, I'm going to give you the full name here. Richard Henry Blood.
Old Dick Blood. Chris, that's Nicky Starks, isn't it?
Incorrect. Lewis.
Richard Blood.
If it was going to be anybody, it would be John Moxley.
I'll go for, just to be in the theme of the blood, I'll go for Gangrel.
Incorrect. It is actually Ricky Steamboat.
Oh yeah, I think
that's why you said Ricky Starks.
Because I read that the other week. Because I'm sure there was like a cultaholic list or something like that.
Aye. And what's? I think it's because he's
because he's Native American or something like that, and I think there's a lot of like Native Americans have got names like Blood or Foot and things like that. Like a body, body part or like body a parts. Bodily. Aye. Anyway, right, so.
Jimmy Kneecap.
Cuck Broadfoot.
Cuck Broadfoot.
Aye. So it's. Tensions are high, so we're all tied at two apiece, and there is one left, so it comes down to sudden a sudden death. That's not my name. That's not my name. And it is David Heath.
Lewis. That was.
Go ahead, Lewis.
Chris. That was. That was way. David Heath.
I'm gonna give you 10 seconds.
Right, okay, 10 seconds. David Heath.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Incorrect, no, Chris. That, it's over to you.
That is a spectacular lone goal, Lewis, because you just said his name a couple of minutes ago. It's Gangrel. Acknowledge
me. No, but that's what I meant. For the, you, I meant what?
You've Chris Iwuemo'd that. That's that. Oh,
that yes. Was that. Well,
Chris
Iwuemo. Like, see when you, it's a lag.
It's a lag. It's a lag. I actually said it now.
I can't believe. Like, see when you said Gangrel to Richard Blood, I thought I can't believe he's done that. I can't believe
that would have never. Up, that would have never came back in my head again. Because I'm not going to say Gangrel again. And I'll look like a fucking weirdo.
Aye. Because I thought that'd be
guy's
appropriate
got a
story, one.
Just Gangrel.
Aye. I thought it'd appropriate one. Richard Blood, Gangrel, Vampire, Halloween. So I had to use that as the finisher.
Class.
Yeah, I'm in your head
that
too
was
much.
Well done. Logic tip.
Yep. So Chris, congratulations. You are this week's quiz winner.
I'll take 2 points. Unlucky. Yeah, I'll just let you guys play next week.
Well, this has been delightful, gentlemen. But sadly, we've got to tie things up. We'll just give a quick recap. So for our front page, we went with Aldis Nix, a new job, in reference to Nick Aldis being announced as the new Friday Night SmackDown GM. On our back page, we've got Big Beefy Men Slapping Meat in reference to Gunther against Bronson Reed on this week's Monday Night Raw. We had the centerfold, thanks again to Danny Luna and Flash Morgan Webster of Folk Subculture. And for our page 3, you know, we went with the possibility of Sami Zayn getting a title shot on Raw. So we're all aboard the Zayn train. And we've patched things up with a lovely quiz in which Chris won 3-2. Lewis,
champ is here. Champ is here.
I'll be back.
You never know. Third time might be the charm.
This is a Curt Hawkins losing streak that I'm going to break. WrestleMania season.
Yeah, no. Listen, every jobber has his main event shot sooner or later. So don't give up hope. So. My thanks to Chris Jack and Lewis McNaughton and Subculture again for joining us. You know, please sign up to our Patreon. Please join our Discord. Spread the word, you know, and of course get onto the wrestlingdaft.com. Go in our shop, buy a t-shirt. But no matter what you do, keep it daft. Keep it shitty.
Keep it shitty.
Up the road.
Okay. Brilliant.